Let's talk about what you believe to be the various new energy technologies that could be available to us. How many are there?
Oh, boy. Well, there are three or four general categories. One of them, as I mentioned before, is the energy from the vacuum, which can be approached theoretically either through quantum mechanics or classical electromagnetics or even vortex theory. But the important thing is that there are a number of experiments out there, many of which I've already seen in my travels, which make it very clear that we have a proof of concept, that we can either build magnetic motors or solid-state devices or other methods of tapping the ether or this huge potential energy field that's everywhere in time and space and which was understood by Eastern philosophy but was not understood by materialistic Western philosophy.
Is that what you call zero point?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, zero point, and you know, this is part of the problem, George, is that it's hard to come up with proper nomenclature, and we're sure going to miss Gene Malov because he set many of the standards of this whole new research field that's, I think, really growing fast.
Let's talk then about some of these possible technologies and what you think, Brian, is necessary to get it done. First of all, do you believe the technology is there to do this?
Absolutely. And again, we have to be able to distinguish between the various phases of the development of the technology. So a lot of people expect that, oh, well, maybe Gene Malov was murdered because he was right on the threshold of announcing something big. That's not quite the way I see it. I see him as a generalist. I see myself that way to a degree, too, to kind of look at the whole field and report on the state of the art of it. And he ran into, as well as I have, many, many different technologies, and there's so many. So there's the etheric energy or the zero-point energy. That's just one approach, and there are many technologies under that have already shown to be viable, at least in the laboratory, although then you come to another kind of subtle point, but one that's very important, and that is that if you research something and you're an inventor, chances are you're going to be overly optimistic about the commercial application of your device. This always happens.
True.
And investors line up with them for a while, but then when they're disappointed that they're not making their $1 trillion, they back out. And so you have this conundrum of research where there is this awkward gap between research and then development and then testing and then evaluation and then developing commercial prototypes. So it's a very complex process that takes teamwork and engineering. And so far that hasn't happened because the whole technology has been suppressed by the powers that be. So now we can take a kind of a historical snapshot and see that this has had a 100-year history, and we're still not there yet, but we can only get there if there is enough public awareness and support and altruistic support for the research and development that needs to be done so we can get to the commercialization of it.